Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. Physician recruitment is at the epicenter of addressing the healthcare needs of residents in Northumberland County. In this segment, you will hear about a recent report to County Council where politicians heard a shocking statistic. There are more than 20 vacancies for doctors in Northumberland. In another study, done by Toronto Metropolitan University and Northumberland Hills Hospital, it discovered the barriers that are stopping doctors from coming here. The Ontario Health Team Northumberland is working to address all of it. The pressure to solve this problem is immense. As you will hear, the push is on to get one unified recruitment body for the entire county. Hear what the Ontario Health Team Northumberland is trying to do to get a united recruitment group in place, and some of the other efforts to streamline healthcare services within Northumberland. Taryn, you're associated with the Port Hope Walk-In Clinic, and I know that recruitment there has been very difficult because one of the things has been that certain doctors don't want to be involved with the walk-in clinic for this very reason.
Right.
Can you talk a bit about that?
Sure. So the communications piece is huge. Andrea just alluded to it. It's making sure that people are well educated about if they are attached, that they should be seeking care from their primary care provider. There's some complexities around that though, Rob, because first of all, we are communicating that we're trying to prioritize unattached people. So therein it is not an issue. On Saturdays and Sundays, there are OHIP billing codes that are utilized, because a walk-in clinic is considered an alternative to emergency department use, and therefore it does not negatively impact, if someone is rostered to a primary care provider, it does not negatively impact them. So that on Saturdays and Sundays becomes sort of a non-issue. There are a couple of minor caveats. I'm not an expert on OHIP billing because our model doesn't do OHIP billing, but they are minor caveats, and it helps on weekends. The other piece I would say is ensuring that patients are aware that what the use of a walk-in clinic is. So a walk-in clinic is, you know, when you're unattached, you might need medication renewals. That's not going to impact anyone else. The other piece I should mention, actually, and I almost lost my thought there. The other piece I should mention is folks who have providers out of town. As we all know, a lot of people migrate to Northumberland County from the city. And at a certain point, that transportation barrier becomes an issue. So while there might be an issue with the billing provider and the rostering provider in the city, if they're patient goes to a walk-in clinic, I think we also need to consider, as does the rostering physician, need to consider the fact that after so many kilometers, after a certain point in one's lifespan, it might be next to impossible to get to Toronto to see your provider, but you haven't left them yet because you don't yet have someone here. So there's a few nuances that make it very complicated. We are doing our best to communicate that anyone who has a local provider should be seeking care from them first.
I want to talk now about physician recruitment because that obviously is very much at the heart of this issue. And so I would like someone to just talk to me about the current situation. What is the current system that we are using to bring doctors and nurse practitioners and other healthcare professionals into our community to provide the services that we need? Who would like to take that, please?
Did you want to start, Andrew?
I don't mind starting, yeah. So Rob, your question was, what is our current process for bringing providers into the county? I would say right now we have recruitment committees in each parts of the county, but I think there are lots of kind of siloed, isolated ways that everybody is doing their best to try to do recruitment. I think even though, you know, when you have a provider that's in a faux clinic that isn't attached to a FIT, but just an independent faux, if somebody is retiring, they're reaching out to colleagues, they're talking to friends, they're doing everything they can to bring a physician in to cover their practice. I think Taryn would have a practice for promoting a position and bringing them in. Usually CHCs don't struggle as much in recruiting physicians because that model is kind of attractive for some providers. Mm-hmm. We have a family health team that is innovating a new model where they're bringing in a foreign trained provider with tons and tons of experience and fast tracking them through the system. It's part of a pilot program, so that's kind of an exciting new pathway for providers to come into the county. And there are lots of different sort of individual ways that we've had some success in recruiting providers into the county, but what we're looking for is how do we bring all those skills, abilities, competencies together and create one unified approach across the whole county so that we can amplify that message and really attract some talent into our county. And then I'll pass it over to Susan Walsh, who will have lots of lovely things to say.
So I just want to take it back again to when the OHT in 2022, when the OHT went through its strategic planning process, it had over 500 touch points with individuals in the community, and access to primary and specialty care was one of those key areas of focus. So this has been a priority, one of the strategic priorities of the OHT. Earlier last year or mid last year, NHH as the hospital, the OHT, and working with the Metropolitan University, TMU, actually conducted an in-depth review of what are the barriers to bringing physicians to this area. And it resulted in two workshops. And I'm just looking at the outcome of the top sort of problem areas were lack of a unified wide strategy, so a coordinated strategy, better ways to market the unique features of Northumberland County, administrative burden and burnout for physicians, better housing and financial incentives, and the need to make doctors feel valued, recognized, and supported. So that was the result of the first session that we did, and there were physicians that were interviewed as part of that process. And because we had the benefit of working with the Metropolitan University, we had some rigor in that analysis. We had a second session where we brought and in the first session, too, we had the three recruiters. So we've got Docs by the Bay in Brighton. We have Campbellford, where they do recruiting. And then the West Northumberland Physician Recruitment Committee here in our area. And we brought members of that committee together, as well as physicians, as well as other members of the OHT and politicians, to say, let's focus on the lack of a unified countywide strategy. And from that, we identified that that was the single biggest issue that we need to address. So as part of our work, we actually went to council and made a delegation to support access to resources to create that unified strategy. And so right now, it's important to say that the West Northumberland Physician Recruitment Committee has done some strategic planning as well. And both I'm a part of that as NHH, and we've just invited, the board has invited Andrea in her role as the OHT. So there's work underway right now to enhance this, but it still is not a coordinated activity. And that is our goal as an OHT, is to create a coordinated approach to physician recruitment, because if we're all doing things individually, we're not going to get the results. And that is an important thing to underscore.
I'd like to go back over a couple of things that you said, because I think they're really important. And one of the things mentioned was this deputation to county council. And I know that when that did come before county council, there was quite a reaction back saying that we don't need another strategic study. I think the ask was for something like $90,000. What we need is action. Can you tell me what's going on in response to that? Because you just talked about we need to do this and we need to do that, but do we really need another strategic plan?
I think there are two things to look at. There is an immediate need to address this issue. And so anything that has a bit of a longer horizon to achieve is going to feel like it's not action, but you need both. You need short-term strategies, which I do believe the West Northumberland Physician Recruitment Committee is working on, because they did go back and get some additional funding to support a countywide, in collaboration with the county, a video to start marketing, which is part of the strategy that was part of the long-term strategy. So I think there's an immediate desire to fix the short-term problem, because there's going to be another physician who's going to retire tomorrow, and that's going to create a crisis. We are looking at more of the mid to long-term strategy, and work needs to continue with the short-term. And that's where I think there's the rub between this.
How are we going to, though, address this? Because oftentimes when we try to do something as a county, the municipalities push back, and there's a lot of frustration at the municipal level. You know, we see debates taking place at the municipal councils where they're groaning about having to use municipal tax dollars to fund healthcare initiatives and to pay money towards this. And oftentimes, too, when everybody's sitting around the table, there's a complaint that, well, you know, Coburg and Port Hope always get everything, and, you know, the rest of the county kind of gets the warmed up seconds. So how do we get over that hump?
I think that's our singular focus. We are focused on the countywide approach. So I think that those conversations will continue to take place, but our focus, and we did say that we will continue in this work, and we are continuing this work. So that will be complementary to any other work that takes place, but that is our singular focus as one of our strategic priorities to continue this work.
So even if the other municipalities don't join in, the West Northumberland is going to push ahead with this comprehensive approach, which involves, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Cramie, Alnwick-Haldimand, Hamilton, Port Hope, and Coburg. Am I correct in that?
So I just wanted to be clarified. The Ontario Health Team on Northumberland will continue in its work to drive towards a countywide strategy with Campbellford and Quinte. At this point in time, those three entities continue to do the work that they do on physician recruitment. And there will be some short-term work, I do believe, that will come out of that work. That's as specific as I can be right now, Rob, I'm afraid.
One of the issues that comes out of all of this is the pressure on the public system and the work of private providers to also step into this arena. And part of my research, as I was looking at the walk-in clinics and the telemedicine, is that the telemedicine tends to take place in a commercial setting, and that the walk-in clinics tend to be more of a public. But now we see that in Coburg, they're looking at a walk-in clinic that is in a commercial enterprise. What does all of this indicate to us as residents, as taxpayers, when we look at these changes in the system, these trends, and should we be worried about the impact that it's going to have on public health care?
I mean, I can speak to a little piece of that. You know, if I'm a primary care provider and I want to start a solo clinic somewhere, and somebody offers me free space, maybe that's appealing. We know that the cost to run a practice has gone up, 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 and physician salaries haven't aligned with that. And they're spending so much time doing administrative work, and it's taking away from billable hours. It's taking away from being able to see patients. I know that the Ontario College of Family Physicians is working on this and has prioritized this. And important for us too, like, how do we support providers in taking off some of that administrative burden? And we have some things that we're doing. Part of it is that electronic referrals we're supporting with online appointment booking for providers. We have some subsidy for online appointment booking. So we're actually giving money for them to launch these programs so that patients can book their own appointments. That's helping to support their practices.
You know, when I think about that question, Rob, I think about the fact that when there is a void in a system, people will come in to try to fill that void. But what we're hearing in the conversations that we've had with physicians, people do not want to hang up a single shingle anymore. They want to be part of a team of individuals working towards, so that the physician can focus on the things that only the physician can do, and that other members of the team can support that. So I think, you know, again, as Taryn said, these things do provide an immediate stopgap. The thing that worries me the most is the lack of connection to that person's whole perspective of their, like the longitudinal piece. And so mm-hmm. we've got to keep moving towards that. We need people to be connected, both if they receive care in any location, how do we ensure that somebody who is connected to that person receives that information? And right. so it's the silos that are not good for patient care. It may, you know, create an immediate need, but if you have a symptom and you need a diagnostic test and you go for that test and it's seen that you've got cancer, who's going to follow up with you? The person who may be working that day is not the same person. So there's things that we need to do to make the system stronger.
And we have OHTN partners that were successful in getting funding to expand their interprofessional primary care teams and add more nurse practitioners, roster more patients. We've had some success in expanding teams, and we'll continue to put in proposals asking for more funding to expand primary care teams, because team-based care really is the future of primary care.
So what should we be looking for in the next weeks and months coming from the Ontario Health Team Northumberland?
Well, that system navigation tool that's going to be attached to our new revised website is going to be coming. So that's where you can put in your postal code, just put in a request for services, and you'll see the whole listing come up. That'll be coming soon.
And soon is next month, next week?
In the next few months.
What else should we be looking for, Taryn?
I'm thinking about the connectivity. So digital health initiatives are really key. And Rob, have you heard of the initiative from Ontario Health called Patients Before Paperwork?
I don't, but I'm sure my listeners may not have heard of it. So tell us all about it.
Patients Before Paperwork is an initiative from Ontario Health. And I was just checking to make sure I had the name right. So enabling digital initiatives so that, and both Andrew and Susan talked about the administrative burnout of physicians that are practicing now. There's another initiative called Ask the Facts, also from Ontario Health. And the reason for these are, when physicians have heavy rosters, they have a large number of patients on their roster, and they're sending out referrals, and they're having to do follow-ups, and they're having to really try and be very holistic about patient care, it becomes administratively very, very taxing. So Patients Before Paperwork and Ask the Facts are both initiatives to modernize the practice of a physician and a nurse or a nurse practitioner, depending on the model, so that the administrative burnout factor is not causing so much pressure that physicians are wanting to leave their practice or they're not able to see more patients. There was a time when we all know physicians who can see 30 plus people in a day. But as we dig into patient care, we find out that, you know, someone might have 3 or 4 comorbidities that really complicate the patient care journey. So you're referring out to 4 different specialists, and you're following up on 4 different reports back from those specialists. So what we're trying to do in the system is make it so that physicians, primary care providers, and other allied health professionals that are part of team-based care, that their processes are simplified. And the digital health piece of the Ontario Health Team of Northumberland, which is very active, is trying to be involved in those initiatives. Things like online appointment booking, secure patient messaging, the ease of referral and system navigation. So these digital health tools are supposed to help alleviate that administrative burnout of our primary care providers. And that's provincial. The key is for our Ontario Health Team is that we're very supportive of those initiatives and we're really trying to drive them forward.
And in some ways, offering funding support.
Mm-hmm. But when it's great that the province wants to do this, but when are we going to see this on the ground in Northumberland?
Well, we just added 17 new providers to online appointment booking.
Online appointment booking, are we up to 68 or 69 local providers? 69 local providers. That enables people in the county to log onto their computer and to book with their primary care provider or their dietitian or their mental health counselor. It is also very closely attached to a function that allows communicating with your healthcare provider and vice versa with your patient can be risky from a privacy perspective, Rob. So this tool is enabling people to securely and privately message back and forth, thereby alleviating the need to, for example, come back in a week. Some follow-up can be done quicker and more simplistically. So it's really the system trying to figure out how to simplify processes, but also make sure that patients are being cared for appropriately.
Susan, you've talked about a lot of different aspects of this and trying to pull things and move things forward. What can we look for in the things that you've talked about in the next weeks and months?
I think what I wanted to say a couple of things in relationship to that. I think what you're hearing today is that based on the questions that you're asking, there's a lot of work that's been happening that people are not aware of. And so one of the things that we will be strengthening is our communication of those activities, communication of the partners that we work with, and the access opportunities for individuals within the community. And it would be really important to say that we have experienced partner council, which is lived experience individuals who are also part of the OHT supporting that. So in addition to the things that Taryn and Andrea have identified, we will be doing a refresh communication to the community, because if you're asking these questions, it means that there's many individuals that don't know, and that needs to be a primary piece of work. And the reason that we've been probably slow in doing that is we've been doing a lot of background work, and there was a period of time when we didn't have any staff at the OHT. So we've been rebuilding. We've got the core programs that have continued, but we've been rebuilding. So we're at a sort of crossroads of transformation. So I think that I'm very encouraged by what I've seen. I've been encouraged by the engagement of Alderville. I'm encouraged by the engagement of our primary care physicians. So I think it's going to be great if in a year's time from now, Rob, I'll give you the invitation to circle back and have a conversation about what's happened.
I'll put it on my to-do list.
All right.
Taryn Rennick, Andrea Groff, Susan Walsh, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank
Thanks
you.
Your pleasure, Rob. Thank you.
That was Susan Walsh, CEO of Northumberland Hills Hospital, Taryn Rennick, Executive Director for Community Health Centers Northumberland, and Andrea Groff, Executive Lead for the Ontario Health Team Northumberland. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.